Once there was a civilization, much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them.
Well, good evening, folks. Welcome to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network. We're live Saturday night, July 17th, 2010. Welcome to the Light of Day show. Well, our monsoon weather is predominantly in the atmosphere around the Sonora Desert here. I was just looking at the Tucson International Airport on the dew point tracker at our local airport here, and I see today we've hit the highest dew point for the whole year, 61 degrees. So I'd say over the last week, our dew points have been actually above average here. So it's kind of sultry. Anyway, no guests for tonight. I'm going to read some news, play some sound bites, and open up the phone lines if anybody wants to call in, but not right now, a little bit later, if you'll hold off on the phone calls for a little bit. But if you do want to call in a little later, the number is 716-213-6816. That's 716-213-6816. Now, the Orion Talk Radio Network has sort of launched a somewhat different format. We're going to actually have two extra breaks now during the course of each hour. This first break starts at 17 minutes after the hour. And then we have our usual bottom of the hour break, and then there's another break at 44 minutes after the hour. So it'll actually be four segments to my show in each hour now. And I also do want to plug the network. We have three new talk show hosts that are be joining us. The co-host for my show, John DiNardo, his show starts tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern here on Orion Talk Radio Network. And I also know that the CEO here of the network, Jimmy, will be interviewing John sometime soon as well. There's another guy named Darren. His show is called The Front, and that actually started today at 2 p.m. Eastern. And then there's another show called Stand Up America with Carrie Patton, and that starts tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern. So three more hosts joining the network. I believe that'll bring a totality of hosts to either six or seven to this network. I'd have to reconfirm that with Jimmy at the network, but it's either six or seven. Well, boy, there's so much going on, it's almost hard to figure out where to start. I guess we can start with Richard Sauter. He is, this guy Richard, Dr. Richard Sauter, is probably one of the most preeminent public mouthpieces on the topic of the secret underground bases and tunnels. He actually has a book out on underground bases and tunnels, but he was arrested on April 18th. I just learned about this arrest through an RBN talk show host named Dave Hodges, who called me the other day. I didn't even know about this. So I appreciate Mr. Hodges tuning me into this. Anyway, I'll read the article on his arrest. Dr. Sauter, author of several books on secret underground bases, was arrested for peacefully protesting at a Minuteman III nuclear missile launch site near Parshall Manat Air Force Base. Attorney, author, and law professor Francis Boyle said, quote, "People like Richard and the Plowshares and others are some of the most principled people I've ever been fortunate enough to meet, and I believe they have a right to peaceful, nonviolent, prayerful demonstration against weapons of massive destruction and genocide. The future of humanity is at stake here, and Richard and those like Richard out there are trying to do something." Now, Dr. Sauter, an affiliate of the White Rose Movement, explains his protests in detail in his Manat Manifesto, North Dakota, April 2010, in his most recent book, The Richard Sauter Briefing, ISBN number 978-3-93-7725-14-7, which is now available in Europe and to be out in the U.S. soon, describes the global situation and the immediate challenges for humanity. Earlier this year, Dr. Sauter also published Hidden in Plain Sight Beyond the X-Files, which details his latest research into the existence of clandestine underground and undersea bases. A recent interview with him is now available on YouTube. Please support Richard in his quest for peaceful change. He was also interviewed on George Norium back in March, I think it was March 30th of this year. Memory serves me correct, folks. Now, Richard Sauter's trial date is delayed until at least July. This is from Richard Dolan, June 4th. "I recently received another letter from Richard Sauter. Although his trial date had originally been set for May 21st, he has informed Richard Dolan that it has been delayed until at least late July. Until then, he will remain in jail in Rugby, North Dakota. Until the trial does occur, it is explained to be in federal court in Minot, North Dakota. I have not received updated information from Richard about whether or not he wants people to write on his behalf. I believe he would like that, but I am not sure if it will be the same judge as he previously indicated. After I receive a clarification from him, I will publish that information." Anyway, folks, you know, that last interview that Richard Sauter did with George Norrie on Coast to Coast AM, he sounded somewhat emotional and sort of willing to go over the edge on just putting it out on the table about what the elite have been doing with all our money to construct these humongous underground bases. And I believe that whatever happened here was set up so he would be arrested because his mouth got a little too big. Now, I've also received an email from my friend John up in Milwaukee that the CIA has left Langley, Virginia. And that's posted on Steve Quayle's Q Files website. Wow, the first break's already kicking in, folks. We'll be back here in about 3 minutes. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Light of Day with Sheldon Day on Orion. Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network, Saturday night, July 17th, 2010. Or I was mentioning the CIA has left Langley. Now, in John Moore's DVD entitled Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, he mentions that there is mainstream news articles that are scattered. You have to look for them, but two or three years ago, the CIA was moving, relocating their entire domestic division out to Denver. Now, this when he mentioned this, this move may have been in progress at the time, so I'm just assuming that what's happening now is that this move is completed. You click on this link on Steve Quayle's website, and it takes you to some website where you got to register and log in to become a member to read the article. So I haven't gotten that far yet, but if you folks can please help me and check that out, we need to know what's going on. Because as these earth cataclysms start to kick in, we're going to see critical key elements of federal government infrastructure relocating towards the middle of the country, because they're going to need to be moving away from these rising ocean levels and tsunamis that are going to be happening. Now, there was a big earthquake, well, not a big one, but an earthquake near Washington, D.C. here. I'm going to read this. This was a 3.6, which shook the Washington, D.C. area on, well, this was yesterday, Friday. The quake rattled homes and startled people. The U.S. Geological Survey says it happened at exactly 5:04 a.m., about 3 miles under the Earth's surface. Now, officials did warn there could be aftershocks in the coming days, but there were no reports of injuries or damage. But transportation crews were inspecting bridges in Maryland and Washington, D.C. Now, as far as us Planet X researchers go, this actually would have been a 4.6, folks. So keep in mind that whatever the USGS is reporting, in actuality, it's one full point value, one full point number higher than what they're reporting. And this is because as back in the mid-80s when Charles Richter passed away, the powers to be knew that these quakes would be getting more intense in severity and there would be more numerous earthquakes 25 years into the future as Planet X got closer, and they didn't want to alert the public to this, so they, that's how they do this. Trying to see where the epicenter for the quake was. I think it was centered somewhere in Maryland. I can't find it here for some reason. But anyway, the last earthquake for this area was a 2.0 back in 2008. The region also had a 2.7 back in 1993. So this is quite a small earthquake, but very abnormal for this area. Now, the earthquakes east of the Rocky Mountains can be felt over an area as much as 10 times larger than a similar magnitude earthquake on the west coast. By mid-morning on yesterday, more than 13,000 people had logged on to the U.S. Geological Survey's website to report feeling the quake, some from as far away as Pennsylvania and West Virginia. The USGS received 6,500 reports about this earthquake. Well, let's see what else we have here. Anyway, you're listening to Light of Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network. No guests for tonight. I'm going to read some articles, play some sound bites. Now, I got this from a talk show host up in Colorado. Her name is Melody. She has a show called Truth Quest. And she sent me an article about the Forest Service will close caves in the Rocky Mountain region to protect bats from lethal disease. And I think this could be more evidence that the ruling power elite are extremely close to descending into their underground bunkers as the natural earth disasters spiral out of control. Hopefully the increased earthquake activity, folks, will bury all these rats, though. Take that for what it's worth. NASA also reported Thursday there was a record collapse of the Earth's upper atmosphere, and I got this from a guy on my email list named Steve. Record collapse of Earth's upper atmosphere. It's a space age record, folks. An upper layer of the Earth's atmosphere, the thermosphere, recently experienced an unexpectedly large contraction, NASA announced Thursday. The collapse happened during the deep solar minimum of 2008-09. Researchers had expected the contraction because the thermosphere always cools and contracts when solar activity is low. In this case, however, the magnitude of the collapse was 2 to 3 times greater than low solar activity could explain. This is the biggest contraction of the thermosphere in at least 43 years, says John Emmert of the Naval Research Lab, lead author of a paper in the June 19th issue of the Geophysical Research Letters. It's a space age record, he's quoted as saying. Quote, something's going on that we do not understand, says Emmert. The thermosphere, which ranges in altitude from 90 kilometers up to 600 kilometers, is where solar radiation makes first contact with our planet. The thermosphere intercepts extreme ultraviolet photons from the sun before they can reach the ground. When solar activity is high, solar EUV warms the thermosphere, causing it to puff up. This heating can raise temperatures as high as 1400 Kelvin, hence the name thermosphere. When solar activity is low, the opposite happens. If this sort of perhaps maybe an admission that solar forces, not humans, are responsible for heating and cooling our planet. So that article goes on and on, but I also heard on George Norrie's show last night that our, it was actually the top or bottom of the hour news break, that the Sir Charles Branson of the Virgin Galactic thing out there in at Spaceport America in New Mexico, they supposedly accomplished some kind of milestone test where they sent a commercial spacecraft up and spent 6 hours up in space. I'll finish that up after the break. You listen to The Light of Day with your host Sheldon Dan Orion. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. The Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network.
USA Radio News, I'm Jason Walker. Both sides coming out firing salvos in the weekly radio addresses Saturday. Pandora Reynolds reports.
President Obama criticized Republican leaders for their stance on unemployment insurance in his weekly radio address. He said some GOP leaders in the Senate actually treat this unemployment insurance as if it's a form of welfare. Meantime, Kansas Republican Senator Pat Roberts offered up the GOP's address, talking about the new health care law he called Obamacare. I'm Pandora Reynolds.
Ongoing BP oil well integrity test in the Gulf has been extended 24 hours. Officials continue to monitor the pressure to determine if it is structurally sound. They want the pressure to reach and sustain 7,500 pounds per square inch or more. The last published reading was at nearly 6,800, rising at the rate of about 2 psi per hour. IRN USA Radio News.
So they passed the new health care bill. And I have to tell you, there's a lot of people saying things like, they're going to force me to buy insurance? I can't afford it. Otherwise, I'd have it already. So I tell them, calm down. It'll be okay. See, there's another option. It's called MediShare. MediShare isn't insurance. It's a nationwide network of Christians who share each other's medical bills, much like the early church did 2,000 years ago. Participation is affordable, and here's the best part. MediShare members are exempt from Washington's mandate that you buy health insurance. So if you're worried about the health care bill, take a deep breath and call us at 1-800-PSALM-23 today. That's 1-800-PSALM-23. Or visit www.medi-share.org. MEDI-share.org. MediShare. Christian medical sharing. Not available in Montana.
Don't miss Two's Company, Three's Allowed with your host, Sean. Saturday nights from 10 to 12 midnight Eastern here on the Orion Talk Radio Network.
Hello, folks. You're listening to The Light of Day on the Orion Talk Radio Network with your host, Sheldon Day. We're live Saturday night, July 17th, 2010. Just want to remind folks again, three new hosts joining the network. The co-host for my show, John DiNardo, who actually be starting tomorrow night at, I believe, 9 p.m. Eastern. And what you're usually going to hear is what's called a Radio X audio drama. He actually plays sound bites of various evidences that would indicate Planet X has happened in the past and is going to happen again, and he mixes it in with some background music. This is normally played on a shortwave radio station every Sunday night, so he'll actually have two shows on Sunday nights. The record collapse of the Earth's upper atmosphere. This is just another evidence that something's going on with the sun, and something is affecting the sun to affect the Earth, and that's the root cause of which isn't being expounded upon. Planet X is interacting with the sun, folks. We may hear a lot over the next 2 to 3 years about solar scorching and solar storms and this and that. But Planet X is behind it. And I did see an email here the other day that as Jupiter is gets in its what's called its perihelion posture with the sun, which occurs every 11 years, that's when the Jupiter is closest to the sun. That's where we're going to have these major sun eruptions. But it's going to be pretty significant this time because... where Jupiter is at its perihelion, at its closest point with the sun, keep in mind that Planet X is right by Jupiter at this point in time, at least according to my Planet X researcher friend Gilbert Erickson. So you're going to have like a double whammy effect, if you will, because the Planet X is coming up south of the plane of the ecliptic table between the main asteroid belt and Jupiter at this time. Now, I'm also in the process of initiating a evidence list of indicators which would give me and John more data that we need to prove that Planet X is inbound and will be causing future Earth cataclysms. So that's a major project that I've recently initiated here. I look forward to getting digging up more news stories and finding email links and that for these evidences that me and John DiNardo need. Oh boy, there's so much going on. Sometimes it's just hard to figure out where to start. Now, we've been hearing a lot over the last week that the crisis in the Gulf is all over with. I wouldn't swallow that, folks. I think this is sort of like the gasoline prices. They're going to condition our mentality with the up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down thing. You know, they'll give us some reassurance here that try to pacify the masses that, oh yeah, we got it under control finally. We got the thing capped. But, it's not totally successful yet if you've been paying attention. I just heard they have to try to obtain a pressure reading of like 7,000 or 7,500 PSI, but they're not seeing that. This could be an indication that it's seeping out at other cracks on the seabed floor. Like me and John DiNardo have explained, what we think is going on in the Gulf is a natural disaster. John DiNardo's friend, who's a Persian Gulf War veteran, has a friend in the U.S. Geological Survey that told John's friend Mark that this must have been about 3 years ago, that they were mapping the seabed floor and found out that land masses would be rising from the seabed. And since the powers to be knew that that would eventually be happen, they decided to profit by tapping into this undersea asphalt volcano. And they were willing to take their chances because they knew that they could profit from this, but they also want to be blamed for this disaster. They want people to point their fingers at the government and at BP for doing this because they're so desperate at this time not to let the masses out there know that Planet X is coming in and causing natural catastrophes to spring up all over the planet. So me and John DiNardo's theory, and we're firmly sticking to it regardless of what anybody else out there wants to think about it. You know, sometimes they get on these other shows like Lee Rogers. Well, he doesn't want to agree with me on this, but I don't care. This is what I believe in, and I think this is what's happening. You know, when I hear John explain this to me, I just hear so much truth resonate from him. This makes so much sense. Why would you folks want to believe what the mainstream media is telling you? I mean, I'm more worried about what they're not telling us, what's not being reported at all. They've taken our thinking away from us. We need to try to learn to think for ourselves again so we can figure out what's going on here and what they're doing behind our backs. Just going to check here, see if we have any callers. If anybody wants to call in, 716-213-6816, that's 716-213-6816. Yep, so much going on, but this is what me and John really think is going on. That we got a collapse of the Gulf Stream. Bill Deagle had a pretty good show yesterday, folks. You may want to go download the first 2 hours on the Genesis Network. Apparently the loop current out in the Gulf of Mexico has stopped. And this guest he had on the second hour yesterday really elaborated on this. Now, folks, only a 3-degree rise in water temperature in the Gulf would cause the Gulf Stream to collapse. Has the 7-degree increase we now are experiencing caused the collapse, or it is the oil, or both? According to a recent paper, there's considerable evidence for abrupt climate change. The most recent episode occurred in northern Europe prior to the Little Ice Age, where, after a gradual rise in temperatures over several centuries, temperatures dramatically flip-flopped into Arctic chilliness in a matter of years, according to ice core samples. Two recent and progressively colder winters in both America and Europe have doomsayers and scientists calculating the odds of it happening again. Now I'm just checking here on the Orion Talk Radio Network, my show format clock. Our next break starts at 44 minutes after the hour, so we're just about ready to go into this third break here for the hour. So I have to keep in tune with this because I'm not used to this. But this is a really long article to read. I'm not going to get into that. all kinds of evidences that would indicate that there's major climate change going on, and this is being caused by Planet X. This is what John Moore says on his DVD, Global Warming, what the government isn't telling you, and this is the single man that really woke me up to this reality. Well, there's the break again. We'll be back. You're listening to Light of Day on Orion. Stay tuned. Well, folks, that bumper piece didn't fire up for some reason, but we're back. We're live Saturday night, July 17th, 2010. You're listening to The Light of Day on the Orion Talk Radio Network. I had two streams going. I'm hearing myself in my headset, plus I'm playing the stream off my website, because actually what I do is when I go into a break, I click the streaming player on my own website so I can go out and have a cigarette during my breaks. I did want to mention, George Norrie mentioned this yesterday. This really caught my attention. I had to call John DiNardo up when I heard this, but the WISE Space Telescope, which stands for the Wide Field Infrared Survey Explorer spacecraft, spots 25,000 new asteroids in the last 6 months. This really caught my attention. I just wonder what they're not telling us here. Now, folks, either this asteroid threat is either going to be a scam, as alluded to by former Nazi German rocket scientist Wernher von Braun in the report from Iron Mountain, or the asteroid threat is indeed the debris field of rocks, which is a quarter of a million miles on either side of Planet X, which John Moore has learned from his highly classified sources. In this article, there's quite a few links on it. Besides, on the Fox News link, in this Fox News link, it states that besides all those asteroids, the WISE telescope has also sighted 15 new comets. It has spied hundreds of potential brown dwarfs, which are stellar objects that are bigger than a planet but much smaller than a star, and confirmed the existence of 20 of them, including some of the coldest ever known. Now, this is what me and John DiNardo and Gilbert Erickson and possibly even Marshall Masters believe Planet X is. It's a brown dwarf, so it's something that they throw this into this article here, that the WISE Space Telescope has discovered this in the course of its history up there in space so far. Anyway, Gilbert Erickson replied to my email on this. He said, "Sheldon, it would be fun to get access to the data before it goes through the editing process." As the article from Fox News commented, NASA has released a picture a week of WISE's myriad finds. But the full celestial catalog of what's out there will not be released to the public until next year, after the team has had time to process the images and flag false alarms. There it is in print, folks. They admit the need to edit that library of information before the public has a chance to see what's headed this way. Of course, exactly how many false flag alarms are floating around in the sky remains to be seen. I can think of one very good one, codenamed Wormwood. If it can spot hundreds of new brown dwarf stars out there in the stellar dust, you would think that it can also see the one that matters the most to the inhabitants of planet Earth. I'm just checking here, folks, to see if we have a caller come in. Not yet. It's back to the article from Gilbert, or email from Gilbert. Sheldon, is there any doubt that NASA and company knows how to find / track Wormwood? With IRIS, the South Pole Telescope, and now WISE, they have the finest infrared eyes that money can buy. If you have the correct equipment, then you can do the job. They have it. Too bad that we don't have it. But then again, $300 million is a little more than I can take out of this week's allowance. Oh well, maybe next week. Thanks for the heads up. Some good stuff, Gilbert Erickson. Now, during the last break here, I also found this thing I wanted to read to you folks about Sir Charles Branson's Virgin Galactic spacecraft. It makes its first crewed flight, and this is off the HuffingtonPost.com. Mojave, California, a company working to send tourists on suborbital flights, says it has tested its spacecraft with a crew for the first time. Virgin Galactic says the craft remained attached to a specially designed airplane throughout a six-hour flight over the California's Mojave Desert Thursday. On its website, the company congratulated the crew and said objectives achieved. It says the two crew members evaluated all the spaceship's systems and functions. Virgin Galactic says the flight test program will run through 2011 before it starts commercial operations. Now, I got to talking to John DiNardo on the phone about this morning, and, you know, they're saying how you're going to have just tons and tons of money to be on these commercial space flights or practically be a millionaire. And me and him concur that what we think is going on here is, or at least what I think is going on, is that the Spaceport America facility out there near Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, is going to become like the new Kennedy Space Center in Florida, because Florida, it's looking like Florida is going to be wiped off the map soon. And that's where the Kennedy Space Center is. And this Spaceport America in New Mexico is highly above sea level, and it's a partially underground facility. I mean, it just connects the dots with the future plans of what the elite are going to need in order to do whatever they're going to do. We don't know if they're just going to use this launch facility to maybe to escape to the other side of the Earth as deadly asteroids come in, or who knows. But I think there's something going on behind the scenes there at that Spaceport America in New Mexico. Haven't pinpointed it yet, but we do need to keep in mind it is highly above sea level and it is a partially underground space facility. So just keep that in the back burner, folks. I'm going to start playing a soundbite for your folks right now. This was done by Professor Jim McCanny back on a 2004 broadcast of his, and he really sums it up well on what's going to happen, what the Earth is can expect as Planet X comes in, and how the masses react to it and all that. It's pretty good. I'm going to play that until the break.
There seems to be some serious observation going on in the southern hemisphere and leaks coming out all over the place. It does appear that groups of military and professional astronomers are openly active, let's say, at the Wormwood location in Australia. Well, of course, that's what I've been saying all along. The indicators were all there. And now there are reports that a mini solar system is coming into ours. Basically, you are on your own. Be prepared. That's the best thing I can tell you. And as far as I would suggest that, number one, you need clean water. Number two, you need your own supply of food. And number three, you need some basic first aid equipment. Number four, you need some health maintenance natural products. And my own use on this, I use essential oils, as I've advised people through this era of awaiting a extrasolar system object. And by the way, there are many of them. There is not just one. This is what scientists are starting to find out, and of course they're not telling the public. And it does appear, I've been saying this all along, it now appears that there are leaks, coming out of the southern hemisphere of the number of astronomers down there looking at what they are calling a mini solar system moving into ours. This is what apparently Harrington saw back in the early 90s. And in the forefront was, of course, Hale-Bopp, but the comet nucleus that eventually became Hale-Bopp, somewhat of a mini solar system in its own right.
Keep in mind, folks, here, 6 years ago, Professor McCanny was clearly stating that there was a single Planet X object headed our way. You know, he no longer does that. So, anyway, we're coming to the top of the hour break. I'll finish this up after the top of the hour break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Light of Day on Orion with your host, Sheldon Day.